warm-ups. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I run, I have to stretch. I do stairs just to get some blood going to the legs. And we were right out of the cannon to God be the glory. No warm-up, nothing. I mean, and we didn't let up. Or worship the King, be exalted, O God, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Whoa! So I'm still catching my breath. I hope and pray you are too. Every once in a while, I come across something, maybe you do too, maybe a long-lost artifact, some memorabilia that you've misplaced. Maybe you never misplace anything. Where you know where everything is. If you've seen my office, you know that's an impossibility. But what is also really exciting is when God reveals something and shows something to you, an unexpected treasure. That's what I've received. I want to show you tonight what I believe to be is an Old Testament definition for worship. One verse. Of all the verses that we could come up with in the entire Old Testament, I think the Lord showed me the perfect verse for the definition of worship. Now, I'm only going to give that to you at the end of the sermon. So hang on and hold tight if you don't mind. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Genesis chapter number 1. I've got a slew of verses. So if you want to write down references, that's good. You might not be able to keep up with me. But I want to go toward the end, and this is just preliminary. But again, this will be helpful. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at blessing. We're going to look at blessing. I was at the funeral in Rochester, and I was talking with a missionary to Ukraine, and we were talking about this subject. And this particular word. And I told him about the Hispanic culture and the blessing, the family blessing. And he looked at me and he said, "Man, that's cool." And I said, "I don't know what the word is, but that's what they do." And the nieces and the nephews and the kisses and the hugs and it's almost like a daily thing. And he says, "Man, that's awesome." So what's that? How do you say that? Bendicione. Bendicion. Bendicion. Is that morning and night or no? Bendicion. What does that literally mean? Bless me. So we're going to look at God blessing. First, we're going to look at God blessing men and ladies. Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." Now, I'm not going to take a moment to define the word, but I think what we're going to do is, in context, realize what the word means. Now, with the young men here, context always determines everything. The word "come" means something. But the word "come" with an elevated decibel level means something else. Come with an elevated decibel level with a face to match disappointment and anger speaks something else. So context determines definition. Genesis 1:28 says, "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Numbers chapter 6. So God blesses men. I'm going to give you about half a dozen examples, and then we'll go to something else that God blesses. So God blesses men and women. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Psalm chapter number 5. God blesses men and women. Psalm 5, verse 12. And thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What does that mean? Simply means God's looking out for us. That God will make a promise, that God says he will provide, that he will bless his people with peace. Isaiah 51, verse number 2. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Jeremiah 31, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Jeremiah 31, 23. The God of Israel, as yet they use their speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. So God blesses people. And that's just a smattering. Now let's talk about God blessing things. Exodus chapter number 20. Which you know right off the top of your head, is the chapter on the commandments. Exodus chapter number 20, God blesses the Sabbath. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What basically that means is God doesn't necessarily bless the Saturday. God blesses the day of rest. He's asking us, he's built us, he's hardwired us that we need a time to reflect upon him called the Sabbath. Not only that, God is going to bless work. Deuteronomy chapter 28. God blesses work. Deuteronomy 28, 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. God is going to bless the field. Genesis 27. Not only is God going to bless the Sabbath, he's going to bless our work. God's going to bless the land, the field. Genesis 27, 27. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Isn't that good? Cindy and I have been walking lately with summer upon us. And we went by this house in our neighborhood and the guy had these probably these laundry baskets, the round white ones, probably a dollar at Dollar General. And he cut the bottoms out. So on top of his plants, he's got white laundry baskets. And it's obvious what he's doing. He's trying to keep the rabbits out. He's trying to prevent the critters from eating everything that they just planted. Exodus chapter 23, you're not very far away. So God is going to bless the Sabbath, work, fields, and God's going to bless what we eat. Exodus 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So God is going to bless people. God is going to bless things. Now, let's look and see what the Bible says about us. So not only do blessings come from God, but the Bible clearly says that we are to bless one another. And let's look at a few of those. Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. Men blessing other men. Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, again, here we have these pronoun problems. He is who and who is him? Well, keep reading. And said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. So Melchizedek was blessing Abram and said, what? Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So here Melchizedek is blessing Abram. Not only that, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. So men bless men in a number of ways. In this particular verse, this is going to be a greeting. 1 Samuel 13:10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. That word salute is a translation of the word bless. He went out to salute him, to bless him. So this is in use of a greeting. 1 Kings chapter 8. Not only are blessings used to greet someone, blessings are used to say farewell or in departing one from another. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 66. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they, the people, blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. So when we greet one another, we can bless them. When we depart from one another, we can bless them. Go to Genesis chapter 48. This might be one of the an Old Testament standard on blessing regarding inheritance transfer. If you remember Jacob blessing the 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs of Israel. Genesis 48, 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. Now that was Jacob blessing Joseph's tribe, not Jacob blessing the other 12. And we could go there, but you get the idea. A blessing in regards to inheritance. Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. If you're too lazy, I'll just read it. Nehemiah is not the easiest book to find. Here is blessing in gratitude. And the rulers of the people, verse number 1, Nehemiah 11, 1. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. And the rest of the people also cast lots to bring 1 of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city. And 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. So blessing toward men is in greeting, in departing, in inheritance, in gratitude. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Wilbur, in that famous movie, Wilbur the Pig. Charlotte was famous for using the word, starts with an S, salutations. So Proverbs 27:14 is blessing regarding salutation. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. So blessing could be for morning hello. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Blessing could also be used in regards to friendliness. 2 Samuel 21 verse 3. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? So we have looked at least two major classifications of blessing. God blessing men blessing men. Now what I'd like to do with the rest of our time is getting closer and closer to that definition of worship. Now, men blessing the Lord. I have a few examples of those. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham's servant was sent to get a wife. If you remember, he prayed and he asked the Lord to, you know, work all this stuff out. And the Lord did. And Abraham's servant, in verse 48, I bowed down my head and I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. If we put ourselves in that position, Abram sent his servant to say, go out and find me a wife. Sounds like a movie script. Seven brides for seven brothers. And so he goes out praying the whole time and basically laying like Gideon, laying fleeces along the way. Lord, you know, if I come to this well and the first woman who comes up to me says, you know, what can I do for you? Can I offer you water? And things just seem to work out perfectly. So Abraham's servant, with worship and thanksgiving, blessed the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses reminds the nation of Israel to remember in the good times, and in the good times, bless the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat. Now remember, as James Overton said in Sunday school, In the minds of the Israelis, the nation of Israel, they haven't been in Canaan yet. They think Canaan is desert. They think Canaan is the wilderness. And it is to them, except for the 12 spies that went over, and 10 of them died, so there's only two eyewitnesses of what that was really like, Joshua and Caleb. So Moses reminds them of water and brooks and fountains, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherewith thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. That might not be a bad principle to remember. Bless the Lord in the good times. Don't forget. When you're full, bless the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but as you're turning to 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to read the song of Deborah and Barak in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 5, verse 9, their song of thanksgiving. One of the verses, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Now, most of the time, I've said this a few times being the pastor here, most of the time, it's about me. Lord, bless me. But there are times when the Bible clearly says, bless the Lord. And we wonder, we struggle, what does that look like to bless the Lord? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. David prays in the assembly, in the congregation of Israel. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. A public proclamation, not a private praise, a public proclamation. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 12. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. He's standing, he spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. So as Solomon is kneeling, praying, proclaiming, and worshiping, he's acknowledging God. He's blessing God. 2 Chronicles 31, Hezekiah organizes the priests regarding tithes and offerings. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 8. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. It doesn't say hops. It says heaps. And those heaps, in context, were the offerings and the things that the people of Israel had brought and dedicated. Nehemiah chapter 9, and then I'll be in the book of Psalms for the rest of the sermon. Nehemiah chapter 9 is one of the most convicting, compelling chapters in the Bible. I have to go there because I don't have any pronunciation markers on my computer printout. And for me to pronounce these guys' names without those markers, it will be tough. Nehemiah 9. Some pastors just say, yeah, you know, those guys that are mentioned there. Nehemiah 9, verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Context: God's people are getting together around the Lord. They're fasting. They're showing repentance with sackcloth and ashes. They're confessing their sins and the sins of their fathers. And they stood up in their place, they, and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shabbai, Bani, Chinani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabina, Sheribiah, Hodijah, Shabina, and Bethiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Psalm chapter 16. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Psalm 26, verse 12. Psalm 26, verse 12. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Psalm 95. We don't mind receiving blessing. In fact, we crave it. We expect respect from others. We enjoy being blessed among our horizontal relationships. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Verse 18. 115, 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Psalm 134. Psalm 134, verse 1 and 2. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's probably a chorus you're familiar with. Psalm 135, verse 19 and 20. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Psalm 145. Pastor, I have no idea that that was in the Bible. Sure you did. We just don't know what it looks like. We don't know what's required of us. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Psalm 145, verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. In conclusion, let's go to Psalm 103. And we'll look at the Old Testament definition of worship. Psalm 103. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now we could look up the Hebrew and we could compare scripture with scripture and we could spend a lot of time, but I'd like to look at what this might mean to us personally. Bless the Lord. To kneel is part of that. As we've said, worship could be seen. Worship could be demonstrated. Worship could be manifested. Another way of saying that, worship could be, should be observed. It's observable at times. I understand worship is private, but sometimes worship can be public. So worship or blessing is an act of adoration to God. I am adoring God. How do we adore things? Confession. I washed our truck for the first time. We got it in July. Today was a beautiful day. I did the idle thing. I got out the hose, the dish detergent, and the sponge. And there I was. Cleaning the truck. I said to my wife, you better take a picture of this. She said, why? I said, when was the last time you ever saw me wash a car? Do you know what she said? Never. Now that might, to you, that might be a stumbling block because I'm not being a good steward of a multi-$1,000 piece of tin. But when I was lost, see, you don't know what I was like when I was lost. I worshiped and I washed and I waxed and I vacuumed and I put vinyl on this and I shined that and I detailed that. I mean, no muscle car or anything, you know, just these little sewing machine cars I had. But we adore something. Kneel as an act of adoration to God. To bless also means something that you do abundantly, something that you do frequently, something that you do indeed. To bless means to praise. It means to salute. It means to continue your adoration. It means to thank. It means to glorify. It means to worship. So when the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, I understand what that word soul means. Now, in the Old Testament, it's referring to the same part, the same division of man. But again, we have to look in context because it doesn't stop with, O my soul, because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. But here it goes on and beyond. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That would be enough. But it's not enough. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. What does that mean? All that is within me. All means all, and that's all it means. But it means everything. Every part, every particle, every cell, every neuron, every part of me. I don't know about you, but that sounds really, really similar to the New Testament definition of worship. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Love the Lord thy God with every part of your being. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the lawyer replied in verse 33, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. Now, we've mentioned this at least once or twice. There's no way you can love the Lord thy God this way yourself. You can't. Just like you can't love your spouse, you can't love your children in a godly way in and of yourself. It's impossible. You can't love that person in your family who irritates you. You can't love that person at work who drives you crazy. You can't love that person that you try to avoid. But God continually brings that person into your life to check you, to remind you of your attitude, not theirs, yours, your attitude toward them. Because every time you see them, it's not their problem, it's your problem. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It's ironic because as we were singing tonight, hymn number 8, Praise the Lord, the Almighty. Verse 4 begins, Praise to the Lord and let all that is in me adore him. That's it, right? Let all that is in me adore him. Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, that's not hard. That's not complicated. That's not long. That's not deep. It's not prophetic. It's not historical. It's not financial. It's all about you and my relationship to you. God, I sense that in order for us to love you this way, we need to be more alert, maybe, as we read the scriptures to verses that speak more about you. They might be historical in context, but they might describe you in words that we might understand, that we might get a better picture, a better glimpse, a better understanding, reading Daniel or John the Revelator or passages in the book of Psalms, as we read about your work among men historically, we can find out more about you biblically. Lord, I admit and confess that I don't have this principle down. I could be more public in my praise. I could certainly be more devoted in my worship. Perhaps you're like that here this morning, this evening. Maybe you have a personal need. Maybe God has spoken to you through this particular study tonight. These are not suggestions. These are commands to God's people to bless the Lord. So, Lord, I pray and ask that you guide us, direct us, encourage us, empower us, equip us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Open your hymn book to 59. 59. I sing the mighty power of God.